Wally Pleasant on his Takamine there here on WKAR's Current State here on Live Music Friday, where people are accustomed to hearing you sing songs that they probably don't often hear you just riff on your guitar or play the piano.
Well, good morning, Mark. How are you doing today?
Yeah, hey, I'm well.
Excellent.
You've got a big live performance tonight, but we've got you're burning the candle at both ends here, starting our day here on Live Music Friday. And we'll remind everybody here where you're going to be later on tonight, here at Adato Riverfront Park in just a little bit. And you've got some songs ready to go, and we're happy to have you here.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I might be fixing to take a nap a little later on.
Understood. You got to stay fresh. Wally Pleasant, our guest here today on Live Music Friday on WKAR's Current State. I'm Mark Bayshore. Welcome back to the program. On Tuesday of this week, Current State heard from a supporter of a request by the city of Waukesha, Wisconsin, to divert water from Lake Michigan because of radium in its local water supply. Great Lakes governors will vote on that request, made in accordance with the Great Lakes Compact, in 11 days. Supporters and other authorities say the city's request is justified by sound science, and in May, the 10-member Great Lakes Compact Council recommended approval. However, environmentalists and many others, including our next guest, oppose the request for various reasons. They claim alternatives to a water diversion exist, including ongoing treatment of contaminated water and conservation measures. Our next guest is one of those opponents. Peter McAvoy is an attorney and an MSU graduate, by the way, who spent more than three decades working on environmental issues. He offers legal counsel to the Compact Implementation Coalition. Those are environmental groups which opposes Waukesha's request. Peter McAvoy, welcome to Current State.
Well, good morning, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
I'll start with the same question I asked Dan Dukniak earlier this week. Dan manages the water system in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and he is a supporter of the diversion request. What do you take from last month's decision by the Great Lakes Compact Council, which recommended approval of Waukesha's request?
Well, I think there are a number of really good parts of the recommendation, the overall recommendation, because they really cut back on the service area that was going to be included as the potential area for a diversion. They reduced significantly the city of Waukesha's volume of water that would be permitted to be diverted. However, we think there are a number of other areas that need to be addressed and would be addressed by the Council of Great Lakes Governors when they meet, or before they meet even, on June 21st. And we continue to see these as being major issues that go to the heart of whether or not the major requirements of the Great Lakes Compact are being met and met effectively. Because this is the first request for a diversion anywhere in the Great Lakes Basin. Mm-hmm. It's the first major test of the compact.
Well, one factor apparently working in Waukesha's favor so far has been the determination that the city has no viable alternative other than getting water from Lake Michigan. Dan Dukniak of the city, back on Tuesday of this week on this program, referred to, quote, unavoidable significant environmental impacts of alternatives, unquote, and that continued use of local shallow groundwater would have negative environmental impacts. I know that's an assertion you disagree with. Talk to us about the viable alternatives that you think Waukesha has.
Well, they actually have, and it's in a combination of factors of with the water and the water resources that are available to it. They have and have been pumping water from this very large, deep aquifer underneath the ground. It's huge. It's one of the largest aquifers that is available to communities like the city of Waukesha. And it covers a very good portion, major portion, of the state of Wisconsin. It even extends in the part of Iowa into northern Illinois, Indiana, under Lake Michigan even. So it's a very, very vast system. The reference to affecting environmental conditions or wetlands, for example, in southeastern Wisconsin might very well be the case if Waukesha were going to be drilling additional and new, extensive new shallow wells, not into the deep aquifer, but tapping into the water surface features as well as the rivers, streams, and the shallow aquifer. If they did that, and they did it on a much larger scale than what they're doing right now, there may very well be impacts to the environmental conditions on the surface of the land. What we're saying is there is a viable water supply alternative for the city of Waukesha, especially if it manages the waters that it does have and does that more effectively.
Well, we're told that there's radium in their water, though. How do they avoid the radium that is apparently in their water?
Well, they do have radium in their drinking water. It's not coming through all of their wells, but even the wells that are producing the radium, the amount of water that they're pumping may include portions of that would include radium, but they're treating it. And the interesting thing is that dozens of communities, including neighboring communities to the city of Waukesha, I mean literally neighbors to them, are getting water from the same source. They have radium in it, and they're treating it effectively and responsibly and safely and providing safe drinking water to their citizens. That's true not only in southeastern Wisconsin, but in other communities across Wisconsin and into Minnesota and other states. So this is not something that is unusual, and there is a way to do it. There's a way to effectively treat the radium. We're not pretending that it's not an issue or that contamination of water sources may very well be the case. Well, you need to deal with it. But communities throughout Michigan, throughout Wisconsin, do that every day, and they do it responsibly. So this idea that radium all of a sudden is a major issue and that can't be dealt with, the city of Waukesha for 25 years has known that it has a radium issue. It has dragged its feet in implementing proven techniques to deal with that. And all we're saying is use some of these techniques, augment the techniques that you're already using to deal with radium, and do that going forward. And use the water resources, the plentiful water resources, which, by the way, the water levels in the deep aquifer, according to the scientists, according to the U.S. Geological Survey and others that test for this, have started to rise. They're rebounding. This is a good thing. This is a very good thing for the city of Waukesha.
Now, the governor's regional body, they found that, and I'm paraphrasing here, but maybe only just a little bit, treating and removing radium is not sustainable over time. What's wrong with that assessment?
Well, that's confusing two different things, but you can treat for radium, and communities have been doing it for a very long time, and there's safe, disposable sites that are regulated, highly regulated, if you want to take the radium out when you need to and dispose of it so it's not spread out in the environment. It's regulated by the federal agencies. There are sites that are licensed to do this. The communities that are, again, neighboring to the city of Waukesha are doing just that. And there are major firms that can provide those kinds of services, and they do it across the United States of America.
Peter McAvoy has spent decades involved in environmental issues in the private and public sectors. He and others associated with the Compact Implementation Coalition are opposed to a request by the city of Waukesha, Wisconsin, to divert Lake Michigan water because of radium in its aquifer. Mr. Dukniak also accused opponents of diversion of a campaign of misinformation. And I know that one of his major points is that opponents will use the phrase, protect the Great Lakes, to promote opposition to this request, and he reasons that lots of people instinctively respond, well, of course I want to protect the Great Lakes, when in fact Waukesha claims it would return all of the water it takes, at least to the Great Lakes Basin. Does he have a point there?
Well, first, let's go back to the Great Lakes itself. This is an incomparable world-class resource that we're all concerned about and how it's used and effectively managed and protected. And it's one of the fundamental objectives of the Great Lakes Compact. We wish that the city of Waukesha would talk more about that and appreciate how significant that resource is. But to Dan Dukniak's point about returning all of the water, what they're talking about is averaging out how much water they might get from Lake Michigan and how much they return. What they're going to do is include as part of their return in order to make up for the water that they will lose just through natural consumption and the way leaky pipes, they're going to make up with it Mississippi Basin water. So overall, if you're saying, well, we remove 1 gallon and we're going to return 1 gallon, it's important to understand what's going in the gallon that's coming back to Lake Michigan. And by the way, Dan Dukniak does not talk about this much at all. There are major problems with this application for a diversion because of how they want to return the water. It is not going to be the same quality of water by any stretch of the imagination, the water that's returned to Lake Michigan. And what they're proposing, for a matter of convenience and to cut down on cost, is they're not going to bring it all the way back to Lake Michigan. They're proposing to discharge it to the Root River, which is an impaired body of water, which the city of Racine has been trying and working over the past several decades to clean up and restore. And they've begun to have, and the citizens that have been working with them on this, have begun to have real success. And the city of Racine, the people of Michigan should understand this, has gone through wrenching economic changes like many of the Michigan cities did with this economic transition. And it's only recently that the businesses have started to come back into the city of Racine and create new jobs, something that is vital for a community that is comprised of many low-income, hardworking families. And so that's what they're trying to do.
Well, we should also point out, though, that is at odds with the finding of the regional body here. The regional body, and I have a quote on this one, the return of basin water via the Root River is projected to provide a net environmental benefit to the Root River while simultaneously producing no loss of biological integrity to Lake Michigan. I mean, it would appear you're on different planets on this.
Well, the only problem is if you look at the scientists that are supporting what we're saying, the leading scientists who've looked at this are saying that the pathogens and the the viruses and the bacteria, et cetera, that are going to be returned with this wastewater from 100,000 people, businesses, industry, shopping centers, et cetera, from entirely outside the Great Lakes Basin, brought back into the Great Lakes Basin and it's discharged into this river. The problem with that is that it really heightens the risk and likely really contributes to degradation of that river and the city of Racine. So they have not, unfortunately, the regional body has not spent the time to seriously look at these impacts. And in fact, another problem that the regional body, I hope the recommendations are taken up seriously by the governors, is the state of Wisconsin is not enforcing its existing laws with respect to water, water quality, and protecting the water resources of the state. That's recently been documented by the legislature and its Legislative Audit Bureau. And in AG's opinion, Attorney General's opinion for the state of Wisconsin, the state of Wisconsin is really seriously inhibited from enforcing the laws that it did have, and which, frankly, in the past few years have really been eviscerated by our legislature. So what the regional body is talking about, if they really looked at the science and what impacts this would have on the river and on the city of Racine and its constituents, its citizens, then they would start to look at this in a more serious way. What we've advocated is let's do the serious analysis before the diversion is approved. Let's do it now so that we understand how they would carry this out and what impacts it might have on that river. Merely stating that it's not going to have these impacts is not good enough.
We've got to let it go there. We want to thank Peter McAvoy, an attorney and MSU grad who spent more than three decades working on environmental issues, who also offers legal counsel to the Compact Implementation Coalition. Those are a coalition of environmental groups which opposes the request of Waukesha, Wisconsin, to divert Lake Michigan water for its use. If you'd like to learn more about the case against diversion, you can learn more about it at the website protectourgreatlakes.org, protectourgreatlakes.org. Peter McAvoy, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mark. Go Spartans.
Oh, I met her in the fall of 82 at the first farewell concert given by The Who. We even got to hold her hand during my favorite song, We Don't Get Fooled Again. And she wore tight Jordache jeans with a multicolored comb sticking out of her back pocket. And her hair was feathered back and parted in the middle. And when I finally had the guts to ask her on a date, we decided to go to the local arcade. We even let her beat me at my favorite video game. Cause I liked the way that she looked with the clothes that she'd wear, her blue eyeshadow and long blonde hair. Cause she was my first love, descended from heaven above like an angel with acne. She set my soul free. She was my first love. But I knew that our relationship couldn't last after my brother stopped driving us around. Even after I agreed to pay for the gas, she left me for a junior varsity football star who was older and wiser, plus he owned a car. But overall, she still said I was a real sweet guy. And I must admit that my hand shook when I recently saw her picture in an old yearbook. Cause she was my first love, descended from heaven above like an angel with acne. She set my soul free. She was my first love and not my last. She was my first love and cornerstone of my past. She was my first love and she'll always stand tall in my memories. Even if she's living in a penitentiary, it doesn't matter. She was my first love. She was my first love.
Well, a man who needs little introduction or outroduction, as the case may be, Wally Pleasant there. First Love. What album is that? That's from Songs About Stuff,
isn't
it? That's
from Songs About Stuff. Yeah. And I just got to say, you started talking to the dude about the water, and I thought you were going to start talking to me, and you said an expert on contaminated water, and I was really, I'm a lot of things, but I'm not. I'm against it. Okay, I'll just say I'm against contaminated water. But yeah, I'm so glad that we didn't have that line of questioning, because I would have been like,
There's a song in there. You could write a song about that whole experience. You were just the guy for that. The day you were confused with an environmental water expert.
Right.
Or some such thing. Wally Pleasant, our live musical guest here on Live Music Friday. More of Wally Pleasant tonight at Adado Riverfront Park. You'll be playing the album that includes the song that you just heard a minute ago, First Love's. Songs About Stuff dates from 1992. He'll be playing it all the way through in order tonight at Adado Riverfront Park ahead of the Verve Pipe playing their platinum album, Villains. Its current state here on WKAR, local bars are busy on the weekends, but less so on many weeknights. To bring people in, they often rely on specials and entertainment options. One of those options you may have noticed has an artistic appeal. Current State Scott Pohl attended a paint night event at Reno's West in Lansing a while back, where he met some new people, including the instructor for the evening, J.F. Weiss.
Paint night is a great way for you to make art with your friends, meet new friends with a professional artist over drinks.
And how do you approach that as an instructor?
Usually what I do is make sure that people will seem like they're having a fun time, just kind of read the audience and make sure that what I'm doing, they have enough time to do as well.
Tell me a little bit about your training. Are you an artist other than the teaching that you do at programs like Paint Night?
Yeah, I went to Central Michigan University and got my bachelor's in painting and drawing. And then right now I'm a freelance artist, and this is my primary art gig.
How many times a week, perhaps, would you be teaching a Paint Night sort of a program?
Usually we do this at least once a week. I try to get at least 4 to 6 per month, and we just kind of bounce around in between places like Reno's West, Reno's East, the Nut House, Tin Can West, Potterville, Charlie's, Holt Charlie's, and also the Bucket, and yeah, just a lot of places.
Well, that's great. Now, how many stations are you set up for tonight? How many potential artists are you prepared to have here tonight?
Well, we are set up right now for 24, and the parties range from 15 to 30 people.
Now, do the people that you've taught in these programs take the artwork seriously, or is this just something to do while they're having drinks with friends?
I like to think that people will get more of an understanding of art when they come here. We like to jokingly say no experience is required. So we have a lot of people who may not have made art since middle school or high school or something. And then once they do this, hopefully they'll get a better appreciation for painting.
What's the range of skill level that you find at these programs?
All level of skill, people who, like I said, haven't painted in years, if ever, to people who do this, I would say in a couple cases, professionally.
You ever walk around and say, oh, wow, that's really good?
All the time, yeah. I mean, what I usually like to do is look at the brush strokes. I'm a big fan of things like Impressionism. And a lot of times what people really impress me with is their brush strokes.
What are we going to be painting tonight?
Tonight we are going to be painting Twilight Sunset by one of my fellow artists named Christina Elizabeth. And it's a painting with a rainbow sky in the background with trees in the foreground that are backlit.
Now, is this a sample that I'm seeing right here? This is what we're all going to try to replicate?
This is what we're doing right here, yes.
All right. And we're all going to do something beautiful in the next 2 hours, right?
I believe that will happen. It usually does. I'd say it almost always happens.
Well, thanks. Let's see how it goes.
Okay. Thank you, Scott. Welcome to Paint Night. It's kind of a painting class. More so, this is a painting party. When was the last time you had a painting class or an art class? Maybe like middle school, high school, or something like that? The difference between now and then is that now you can drink.
After that well-received introduction, we get some basic instruction on everything from the brushes to mixing colors, and off we go. Everybody works from top to bottom, painting a rainbow sunset of colors, leading to a black, hilly foreground image. At that point, we take a break to let the paint dry for a while, so I talked with a few fellow students.
My name is Betty Simons.
Betty, how much painting do you typically do?
None.
When was the last time maybe you did painting? Any, like even back in school?
No.
Really?
I don't remember. It must have been in very early elementary school. I didn't take art classes.
So what appealed to you about coming out here tonight for Paint Night? What got you out here?
Well, my daughter is an artist, and she and her husband are art curators, and so I've been interested in art because of that. And I've just recently started getting into the adult coloring books, and it's just kind of awakened a creativity that I didn't know was in me. So,
did you come here alone tonight, or
yes,
are you with friends?
Alone.
Are you having fun?
Yes, I am.
Well, we'll check in with you when you're done. So far, it looks pretty good.
Okay, thank you.
my name is Velia Baldus from Lansing.
Are you an artist?
Not really. I try to be.
You're sort of art tonight.
I am. I looks pretty good with a little instruction.
How much painting do you typically do? You say kind of, sort of. Do you do some painting?
I've done some other, like painting with the twists and stuff like that, and I've really enjoyed that.
So you're here with a friend?
Yeah. Yep.
How much of this is social and how much of it is art instruction for you tonight? A little bit of both?
A little bit of both, most definitely.
Well, we're here during the intermission. Tell me how you evaluate yourself. How do you like this so far?
Oh, I love it. I actually love blending. That's my favorite part of it.
Well, I'll check back with you at the end, and we'll kind of compare notes, all right?
Sure, sure. Sounds good. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Doug Herzberg.
Where are you from, Doug?
Athens, Georgia.
Ah, what brings you to Lansing?
Visiting family.
Well, great. Did you ever do this sort of thing before?
No, I have not. My stepmother forced us here.
Okay, so under those circumstances, are you at least having some fun?
Yeah. Yeah, right. Just messing around, having a good time, but it's, I don't know, painting's fun. It's something I never do when I'm out or anywhere, but, you know, if I have the opportunity or forced to do it, I guess it's fun.
Well, here during the intermission, how do you evaluate your own work?
Compared to my family? That's amazing. I like it. I'm just trying to think where I'm going to go from here and how to finish it off and what, if I want to go more arid and, like, desert, or if I want to go more forest.
You've gone more mountain peak than I did.
Yeah. Then I've noticed that, and it seems like I've gone more mountain peak than pretty much everyone else here, but I just started putting paint on it, and that's where it ended up.
I like it.
Back to work we go, adding trees, leaves, grass, and fireflies, or at least some of us do. When we've all finished, it's time to return to see how everyone did.
Having had a glass of wine, Betty, do you think that the wine helped any?
No.
Well, I think you have a nice result, and I can tell you that it's trees, and it's a sunset, and there are fireflies. So
yeah.
you've reached some level of artistic success.
Yeah. Look at her picture. Her picture's much better.
Well, I must tell you, your trees are gorgeous here, Valia.
Oh, thank you.
Are you happy with the result?
I am. I think it turned out pretty great.
Now, I was only drinking water here because I was on duty. What were you drinking since we're in a bar?
I was drinking Malibu and pineapple juice.
Did it help?
I think it did.
Good. You're happy with the result and had fun tonight?
Hey, I definitely did, yes.
Now, Doug, there are no trees in yours. I see no birds in yours. Everyone else has followed along. You took your own path here.
Figured I'd just have fun, and it seemed more deserty in the beginning anyway, so I figured why would you put giant trees in a desert where they aren't there? So cactuses, flying saucers, and an unhappy cow work.
Is the cow being beamed up into a spaceship?
Unfortunately for the cow.
Sad cow day.
And then have some mountains in, or caves in there where they realize there's aliens afoot, so let's hide.
Well, art is supposed to be expression, mm-hmm. and you've made your own expression here tonight.
Yeah, figured I'd have fun with it. And I'm a big sci-fi guy anyway, so figured, what's wrong with aliens?
And finally, it's time to face the music. How does our instructor think we did?
I think you guys did really good. I like it when we make rainbows. They're just a fun thing to do, and people did a great job with their leaves and the branches.
I noticed one guy here, he just went off on his own tangent and did spaceships and a cow being beamed up. Does that sort of thing happen much, where people just, oh, to heck with it, and they do whatever they want to do while they're here?
That happens quite a lot. Like, if you can kind of imagine, like, what people might make, then it's probably happened. Like, I had somebody make the Batman signal up in the sky. I've had people make creatures in the trees. I was trying to see if I can make that happen, actually. It was like, if you can think about any kind of wacky thing, like, we have a Facebook page, and there's just a collection of different photos of all the weird stuff when people go off on their own.
Well, the big thing is to have fun and maybe re-spark some interest from your school days that you haven't taken up in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that if anything, what we can do is sort of make painting something that people can find approachable. I wonder if maybe sometimes you go to school and, like, you don't like a certain kind of class, and then you avoid that subject for the rest of your life, like math or art. So hopefully we can give people art back into their lives.
I do need to give you an opportunity to make a final evaluation of my own work here. How do you think I did?
I think that you have a very harmonious composition. You got your little groups of fireflies, and they really seem to work with, like, based on how the trees are positioned. So I think that you have a very good sunset that is realistic but also whimsical.
Wow, what a diplomat you are.
I had an instructor tell me that once.
Well, it's been great fun. J.F. Weiss is with Paint Night. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for your time, Scott.
For Current State, this is Scott Pohl.
It's Live Music Friday here on Current State. Michigan native, Charlotte resident Wally Pleasant is our Live Music Friday here guest today. Since the early 90s, the guitarist and songwriter's musical focus has been humor and satire with tracks like Psycho Roommate and Amusement Park Death Song and of course, the day Ted Nugent killed all the animals. Pretty dark sense of humor.
Yeah, when
there,
you put it like that, yeah, you know, man, I need some help.
Well, I'm sure there's a great deal of rage and anger hidden between all underneath all of that humor here. Wally's on the bill tonight for the Lansing City Pulse River Rock concert, headlined by the Verve Pipe. Let's hear another song here from Songs About Stuff, his first album. This is Cool Guy with a Car.
Well, I'm driving down the road in my beat-up Ford. I got a plastic Jesus on my dashboard. I'm going real fast and using lots of gas. There's a guy behind me actually wants to pass. So I put my foot to that accelerator. It's like, hey man, I'll see you later, cause I'm a cool guy with a car. Well, I pull up a light and the same fella wants to race me. So I get an early start cause I don't want him to waste me. Thinks he's real tough in his 280Z, but I blow him away in my LTD as I drive off. Only my exhaust fumes linger, he shines his bright. So I give him the finger cause I'm a cool guy with a car. Well, there's only a few things in this world that I savor as much as a 350 engine with a carburetor. And though you might think I'm a little misguided, just that macho automotive stuff makes me excited. So don't try and tell me to get my priorities straight. At least I don't drop my mom's 98, cause I'm a cool guy with a car. Start her up. But fortunately, I'm able to avoid a potential collision. Cause I got that superb station wagon handling and simulated wood paneling. And I feel indestructible like nothing can harm me as I search salvation to find a Salvation Army. And I drive by that little red thrift store, realize what I was put on this earth for is to be a cool guy with a car, yeah.
Wally Pleasant. Cool Guy with a Car from his first record from 1992, Songs About Stuff. You do not have sheets of paper in front of you that I can tell with all your lyrics on them, or do you? You have a music stand in front of you.
There's a song called If I Were that's been really hard for me to re-remember. I don't even know, is it re-remember a word?
Yeah.
I don't know. To remember, that would just be, re-remember would be just forgetting it, probably.
We know what you mean.
Yeah. So, that's the one where it has, like, it doesn't really have a structure to the lyrics, and I have that written. You're probably thinking, well, a lot of your songs don't have a structure to the lyrics.
I'm not thinking that.
That's my cheat sheet, yeah.
Well, it's amazing that you don't, some of these songs go back to 92. You've never forgotten any of the words to these songs? I mean, you pack a lot of words into your songs.
Yeah, there's a couple that I've really had to struggle with. I haven't played Ode to Detroit in quite a while, and I haven't played, there was one song called I Want to Be a Pop Star, and that I probably haven't played that since about 93. That was my brilliant marketing strategy. I actually wrote a song about wanting to get signed to a major label.
Sure, okay.
While making fun of major labels. Okay. So that didn't work.
Unique marketing ploy there. What is it like to revisit and to prepare to play all of these songs 26 years later? Were there some that you really, well, you just alluded to one. There was one at least that you haven't played in forever. Did you do a lot of that prepping for this concert tonight?
I did, yeah. Fortunately, the chord structures are fairly simple, but the lyrics are hard to remember sometimes. And man, I had to actually listen to the CD a few times, and I was thinking, man, what a precocious little dude. You know, and some of the references are kind of dated too, and a lot of those songs are written when I was in my early 20s, and it's kind of strange in a way for a 48-year-old guy to sing songs from that perspective. But we'll see. We'll roll the dice. We'll see what happens tonight.
I have never been. Help us understand here. I mean, I always visualize people listening to our program who maybe just arrived in town a few months ago and who don't know about an issue or don't know who Wally Pleasant is. How popular did you become outside of Michigan? Do you have a good handle on, I mean, I know you performed in Alaska once, I know that, but outside of, and everybody in the Lansing area certainly has heard of you, but outside of Michigan, how popular are you and how popular were you?
You know, that's a good question. I'm not really sure. I know that when I was playing a lot, I don't think there was a general national following, I guess, but there were pockets where I would go, and what I would do is I'd send a bunch of CDs out to college radio, and sometimes the college radio stations would actually book the shows. Sometimes they would promote the shows. And there were certain areas, comes to mind, Dallas, Texas, for some reason, was always a good stop for me. Hmm. Lincoln, Nebraska, just random, and it doesn't really make
there
any sense
no rhyme,
geographically.
Rhyme yeah. or reason to it. Well, they do have college music, like Billboard college music sales charts. Did you make, you must have made those charts. I'm led to believe you did at one point.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough. I think there was a CMJ Top 150, and I think that one of the CDs got to like 28.
Okay. Talk to us about humor. Talk to where all the humor comes from here. I mean, you could have spent the last 26 years writing lots more conventional songs, and I know you have written some conventional, for lack of a better word, conventional songs here. Why did you take the humorous, satirical approach in the first place?
You know, I think it just comes down to just sitting down with the guitar and playing some stuff and coming up with it. I can't really explain it. I know when I was practicing the songs, I started to kind of write some stuff that was kind of in that vein, and I don't know if I can really explain it. I know as a kid my dad had Tom Lear records, and I'd listen. That was one of my I enjoyed those.
I don't know much about Tom Lear. Who is he?
He was a piano player from the 1960s, and he did a lot of topical songs. Really, really funny stuff. Kind of like there was a guy from Washington that did a similar thing, Mark somebody. And it was like real pollution. You can use the latest toothpaste, then wash your mouth out with industrial waste.
Oh, real topical type stuff.
Yeah, but not so topical that it wouldn't be relatable, you know, down the road.
You have this penchant for writing lyrics with more syllables than there are beats to put them in, so you have to speed up your singing to cram them all in. Part of your signature style, I guess.
Yeah, I remember recording with a friend of mine, and we would get in arguments all the time because I would do that, and I would also I would try to be funny, so I'd be more in the comic timing of it, and he would, you know, we'd have this constant conversation about, well, you're off beat here, and you know, it's just kind of a endless thing.
Yeah. Well, let's hear another song here. This is another track from Songs About Stuff. So that means everybody will hear it again here tonight at Adato Riverfront Park, ahead of the Verve Pipe, Dead Rock and Roll Stars. Wally Pleasant.
All right. Yeah, unfortunately, this one's a little topical with the all the tragic news and music.
We have lost some big names, yes.
Last night I dreamed that all the dead rock and roll stars that I can think of were knocking at my door. There was Jimi Hendrix, Buddy Holly, Janis Joplin, Marvin Gaye, and many more. So I invited them all into my apartment and said, "Hey guys, make yourselves at home." Elvis came and said he was hungry. Jim Morrison started writing a poem. Oh, all the dead rock and roll stars were hanging out in my apartment. All the dead rock and roll stars were hanging out in my dream. Well, Keith Moon just started smashing all my stuff. Sid Vicious sat in the corner trying to look tough. Stevie Ray Vaughan was still singing the blues. Randy Rhoads was lying down on my couch taking a snooze. Eddie Cochran was getting high with Bob Marley. Roy Orbison just pulled in on his Harley. John Lennon was playing chess with Brian Jones. Karen Carpenter was looking like skin on bones. All the dead rock and roll stars were knocking at my door. All the dead rock and roll stars were knocking down my sense of reality. They said, "When you die, you'll never grow old. They'll make a movie about your life, and your records turn gold. So dying really ain't nothing to fear. In fact, it's the best thing that you can do for your career." Suddenly all the dead rock and roll stars got up and said, "Wally, we're sorry, but we can't stay. See, we're due back in heaven, and we really don't have anything else to say." So as they were walking away into the night, I wasn't feeling quite right. Part of me wanted to cry, and part of me wanted to laugh. Part of me wanted to ask for everybody's autograph. All the dead rock and roll stars were hanging out in my apartment. All the dead rock and roll stars were hanging out in my dream. I'm gonna do my extended dance mix for you, Mark. Whoa, all the dead rock and roll stars were hanging out in unauthorized biographies. All the dead rock and roll stars were hanging out at paraphernalia at the Hard Rock Cafe and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada. That's what you're talking about. All the dead rock and roll stars were hanging out on stamps. All the dead rock and roll stars were hanging out in my dream.
Wally Pleasant, Dead Rock and Roll Stars, here on Live Music Friday on WKAR's Current State. I'm Mark Bayshore. What do you remember about recording the first album? 92.
I remember that it was in, you can't control what you remember, but I remember it was in the basement of a guy's house in St. Clair Shores, and his name was Ron, and I don't remember
his last name?
No, but it had M in it because it was RPM Studios.
Okay.
And that's about it. It was Pistons had just won their second championship.
Oh yeah. 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 How many albums have you recorded?
I've done 6. And I have that I've released. I have a kid's record that's about half finished that was going to be all about historical figures. I was going to call it Minute Biographies. And I have a country record that I haven't released. And, you know, I think I'll just keep writing them. And I don't know.
Do you want to release the country record?
I think so, but I'm not sure. You know, it used to be simple. You would make a CD and then you'd send it to store, but then things kind of changed, you know, and I'm not sure if I have a handle on how to release stuff. I guess you announce it on Facebook and you have GoFundMe be involved. I don't know.
You have gotten older.
Yeah, you know, I enjoy the writing part, and I'll just keep doing that.
Well, if we were to ask you to play, I mean, could you play 30 seconds of one of your country songs?
Yeah, I could do that.
Right now? I'm sitting here wondering how much different are these non-humorous, non-satirical songs?
I think that it's in the similar vein, but it's about as country as a guy from Detroit can probably sound. This is about...
Give us just a taste.
It's called Happy Hour.
Just give us a taste.
Okay. And, no one seems to be that happy at Happy Hour. In spite of the nacho bar and the big smiles from the serving staff. I'm living my life with no particular position or power. Just wondering why no one seems to be that happy at Happy Hour. No one seems to be that happy at Happy Hour. And what they call irony is more like mere coincidence. I wish the guy sitting next to me would go home and take a shower. As I wonder why no one seems to be that happy at Happy Hour. 3 p.m. is when I begin. Think I'll go play some Keno again. Watching the ball game from the night before. Know the results, but I can't see the score. No one seems to be that happy at Happy Hour. Even the karaoke singers are looking a little down. Jukebox is busted and the bathroom needs to be scoured. And maybe that's why no one seems to be that happy at Happy Hour. A solo. Maybe you could do a narration voice solo.
Very nice. I was hoping I could persuade you to play the Bigby commercial that you wrote as well. That may not be suited for guitar, but hey, before you play us out here, I just want to remind everybody that Wally Pleasant performs tonight. He'll be doing all of his album, Songs About Stuff, from start to finish here tonight at Adado Riverfront Park ahead of the Verve Pipe doing their record of Villains. You're still writing songs. I'm still not clear on whether you're actually releasing new music, though, to the public, though. Is that a yes or a no?
I haven't in a while, but you know, maybe I'll do a little research and figure out the best way to do that. In the meantime, make the keeping on writing the priority.
You're a lot more settled down these days. You live in Charlotte. City Pulse wrote an interesting story about you. You're remodeling an old Victorian house in Charlotte.
I am. Yeah. Somehow I am married. I have a couple kids, and somehow my life turned into a sitcom. I don't know.
How did that happen? It's like that.
Yeah.
Well, look, it's been really fun to have you on the program here today. Keep at it. Stay in touch, and we'll have you play us out.
Okay.
Here after I remind our listeners a little bit about what's coming up Monday on Current State. East Lansing officials are inviting residents to a public meeting next Wednesday to learn more about the city's financial health. Legacy costs will be a big part of the discussion. We'll talk with financial health team review member Eric Scorsone and East Lansing City Manager George Lahanas. That and more coming up Monday on Current State. We hope everybody has a great weekend. We're going to turn it back to Wally Play. Is this the cat came back?
Yeah, I'm really scared, Mark. I'm not a piano player. I just saw this beautiful piano in here, and I'm gonna try to do this. This could go incredibly
in any
strangely.
Number of directions.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
We like that. Wally Pleasant, the cat came back on Current State.
See? That's what I mean. Here.
Well, old Mr. Johnson had troubles of his own. He had an old yellow cat that wouldn't leave his home. Tried and he tried to give the cat away. He gave it to a man that was going far away. But the cat came back the very next day. Oh, the cat came back. You know, they thought he was a goner, but the cat came back. He just wouldn't stay away. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. They gave the cat to a little boy with a $10 note. Said, take him out on a river, take him out on a boat. Tied a rope around its neck, it must have weighed a pound. Tomorrow they're dredging the river for the little boy that drowned. But the cat came back the very next day. Oh, the cat came back. You know, they thought he was a goner, but the cat came back. He just wouldn't stay away. No, no.